Our passage this afternoon is taken from James 1, verses 16 to 27. James 1, 16 to 27. James 1, verse 16, where you read these words, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." Thus far the reading of God's Word. The congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the passage you read opens with these words, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren." And then the following words that we read. And yet, when we read these words, and as I've discussed with many different people, the understanding of what we have before us by many within the church can be quite different. We have Baptist churches that are dispensational, and they had their own understanding of these words that we had before us. Liberals, when they hear the word of the law of liberty, understand that is not to be the law of God, but a whole new law, which basically allows them to live a whole different lifestyle than what we have in the Bible. Baptist dispensationalists who believe that the law of God in the Old Testament is for the Old Testament people, they save themselves by obeying the law. Now we are saved by Jesus Christ. God tried that way, and that failed, and so Jesus Christ came to save his people. And so they read these words, the law of liberty, and talk about the gospel, but they never really get around to defining exactly what is the law of God. As you've noticed in order of worship, we've sang a number of times passages from Psalm 119. Psalm 119 for dispensationalists doesn't really have a place anymore. That's all just in the Old Testament. That's the Old Testament law. That's the Old Covenant. But we live in the law of Jesus Christ. We live in the law. We live in the gospel, the law of the gospel. So these first words that we read in verse 16 and also repeated later on in verse 22, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. My beloved brethren, to not be deceived, to seek to understand Scripture. How can we come to an understanding of Scripture when we have so many different churches and all these churches with their own doctrines and their own understandings? And why is the church so divided? Why are there are so many different doctrines? And we see then the sinfulness of man. We see his inability to grasp what God says in his word. And we see even as he seeks to understand God's word, that there's still much sin within our lives. We don't necessarily say that Baptists are not Christians. We recognize them as brothers and sisters in Christ. But yet when you come to the point where some say that the law of God no longer applies to our life, we say that doctrine is not a biblical doctrine. We believe in the law of God. And every Sunday we have the reading of the law of God. This is how we live. This is holy living before our Father's face. In the passage we have before our readings, we had this whole matter of wisdom. We spoke about wisdom last week. And in James, James encourages one to ask God for faith, as we read in verse 6. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the sea. If we lack wisdom, to ask our God for wisdom. So even as we go into this passage, may our Lord lead us to understand exactly what James is seeking to tell us, or what our Lord is seeking to tell us with this passage. First of all, in verses 17 to 18, James brings us to the throne of God. He asks us to lift up our eyes to heaven and to recognize that there is a God who is seated upon his throne. And he says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. When we think of this whole matter of asking God, of coming before the throne of God, the first things we must ask for, as we have read it in verse 6, but let him ask in faith, we ask for God that he may lead us and guide us, that we may have faith in God, and that we may have faith in God's word. This is God speaking to us. This is God asking us to listen to him. Who is God? I said very clearly, he is the Father of lights, our holy, holy God, who's over all things, pure and lovely. In him, as James says, with him, with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. He's a faithful God to his word. What he says, the word of God, is for yesterday, today, and forever. It's God's faithful word. He speaks to us. He communicates us. He's a holy God, and he seeks to have us understand his word. The Bible is a science. Much as we have scientists who study nature, so the Bible is a science. We study theology. We seek to come to understand what God has revealed to us so that we can come to know him and who he is. And God presents himself as the eternal God who never changes. And he's good and just. And he's faithful to his word. We can rely on him. He's not a changeable God, but he's the same God yesterday, today, and tomorrow. His words are faithful. Therefore, as you think about his covenant, the covenant that he's made with us, that he has promised us, and he will fulfill his promises as he has fulfilled his promises in Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus came to this world to save us from our sins, and we have been saved. As we speak, the completed work of Christ, his work, he died on our behalf. He took upon himself our sins, and we belong to him. He is our God, and he is our Lord. In verse 18, it says, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creature. As Jesus Christ died on the cross, so we were saved. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. We have been born again. We have been regenerated. Not only have we been reborn, regenerated, but God even promised, even before the foundation of the world, even before our creation, or even before the world was created, God had predestined us. He had chosen us to be his people, to be holy and just in his sight. Of his own will, his own decree, what he had decided, he carried forth. So even our own salvation, that we can call ourselves the people of God, is a witness of his faithfulness to his predestination, to what he had decided, to what he had decreed. This brings us then to verse 19. If this is so, If we have that almighty God who's in heaven, who's in control of all things, who's in control of this world, in control of this creation, in control of all the rulers that rule upon this world, all the governments, this great and glorious God, the Father of lights, if this is all true, then James comes to our daily living and he says, so then, my beloved brethren. And he speaks words that, for many of us, are difficult because often we are quick to speak. We are quick to give our opinion. We are quick to say. We are quick to criticize. To look at another and decide who he is. So James says in verse 19, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Why? As you said at the beginning, as you study Scripture, it's a science. The whole study of what God has presented to us, His Word. And there's so much to study, so much to know, and can be so difficult, especially when you find yourselves discussing the Word of God with different Christians. We start to try to figure out where they're coming from. Where do they get their ideas? And where are they going with these ideas? And it can be so difficult. And our own prejudices can come into the picture and you think, well, I think I've got to figure out he's a liberal, or he's a progressive, or he's dispensational, or he's this or he's that. You can be very quick to speak and very quick to criticize. It's the one thing when we come into discussions and we're speaking about our faith and we're speaking about what we believe, one thing we don't know, it's very difficult to understand, especially when we're speaking about Christians that differ in how they understand Scripture, is to know their heart, to know their intentions, to know what resides inside and what's moving them to believe what they believe. And James is counseling us to be careful, to listen carefully to the other, and be slow to speak, and be slow to wrath, to rage, to anger. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. People have told me in Honduras, they've told me, brother, we've been deceived so many times by our leaders. We have been deceived so many times by our leaders, not just the political leaders, but we've been deceived by church leaders, by pastors. We've been deceived so often. We're so tired of being deceived. I don't want to be deceived anymore. And yet so easily, they slide again. And they're deceived again. And suddenly they catch on to the latest movement that's going on, and suddenly they're speaking and talking about this and talking about that. And James comes and says to us, let every man be swift to hear, to seek to understand where things are going, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. What is the righteousness of God? I remember discussing one theology with some people, and they got kind of hot tempered, and finally said, you know, we're not here to win a battle of the minds. We are here to win hearts for Jesus Christ, that they can repent and believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. The mission of the church is to proclaim the good news of salvation so man may repent and believe that there is a God in heaven and we must serve Him. So in the midst of all the tanglement and all the doctrines and all the different teachings, we proclaim Jesus Christ and we proclaim His Word and we seek to call people to repentance and Jesus alone. In verse 121, James comes to us and says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Therefore, James says, receive the implanted word. We are outside of my Bible. They just keep going around. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive the implanted word. What is that implanted word? It is something that's mysteriously placed inside of us. Or as some say, it's the Spirit that writes that word on your heart. That's what's important. You need to have the Spirit writing these things upon you. It has to be imprinted on your heart. And as you listen to them, you start to realize that they're not speaking about the Word of God, but they're speaking about something more, something mystical, something unknown that only they know, because they've had this extra experience with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come upon them, and therefore they speak what they know. As they say, the Spirit has implanted within their heart. We believe that the Bible is sufficient, that the Bible is the Word of God, that it is the inspired Word of God, the infallible Word of God, that everything that's written in the Bible is for us, and that it is all that we can trust in. There is no other word that we receive directly from God that we can say, this is the inspired, infallible Word of God. We go to Scripture, we listen to Scripture, and we seek to understand Scripture. So what is this implanted word? And I believe that the implanted word is the same word that we receive, that the Bible, what God has communicated to us, what God has told us, what we have heard, we must have implanted in our heart, and the Spirit uses the very words of Scripture and writes those words upon our hearts. How? How does he do that? He gives us a love of the Bible, of the Word of God, so we immerse ourselves to such a degree in all that God has written, that the same Spirit who has inspired this Word inspires us to read, to hear that word, the preaching of the word, and to guard it within our heart. There's no difference between what we read in Scripture and what we ought to have in our heart. The implanted word of God, the implanted law of God. The law of Scripture, the Ten Commandments, must continually be within our hearts, written in our hearts before our eyes to guide our life as we live in Christ, not to save ourselves, but rather as a life lived out of the faith that we have received in Christ Jesus our Lord. So therefore, lay aside all filthiness, overflow wickedness. What filthiness? What wickedness? Everything that is contrary to God's word, contrary to what God has said in Scripture. Because Christ has saved us, and the words we receive, he proclaims to us that we can find salvation in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, James says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Don't just listen to the word, but put it into practice. In Honduras, I've talked to so many people that say, yeah, I am a Christian. Everybody's a Christian in Honduras. You can stop a drunk man on the street and ask, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Sure, I believe in Jesus Christ. Everybody believes in Jesus Christ. But is Jesus your Lord? Is he your Savior? Do you live in Christ? Well, that's a whole different matter. So James says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, because it's only in your head. If it's only head knowledge, something to debate, something to know, then you're only deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Looking into a mirror, we see somebody in a mirror. We see a reflection of ourselves. And James says, do we just go to the mirror, look in the mirror, and then forget ourselves? And do we do that with the Word of God? Do we look into the Bible and then forget what the Bible has said? Or forget to do what the Bible has said? Are we really looking into God's Word? And as we look into the Word of God, what James wants us to do is to look and to see our reflection, see our reflection in the sense of seeing Christ in Scripture and molding our life according to the words of Scripture. God calls us, be holy as I am holy. We are called to holy living, living a right and just and true life before our God, doing that which He has called us to do. But if we go to Scripture, we just read it, and we go about our life, our daily walk, and forget all about what we have read. We live in the world, and we live like the rest of that lives in the world. And James says, we are like that man who sees himself in a mirror, he observes himself, he goes, and he forgets all about what he looks like. So James says in verse 25, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. He who looks into the Word of God, he who understands that this Word is the Word that God has given to us, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and seeks each day to live by this Word. Now we know this is not easy because we live in this world and Satan's all around us and the world is all around us tempting us this way and that way to look at this, to try that, to go in that direction or another direction, to live as the world lives. And so the world continually comes to us and our own fleshly desires are so easily attracted to sin. They entice us to separate ourselves from that which we know we have heard. So rather than doing the word, we do what others do around us. But James calls us to look into the perfect law of liberty and to continue in it and to not be a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one who hears the word and does the word will be blessed in what he does. At the same time, we need to remember, but as we live out the Word of God, what we are living out, what we are doing, will not save us. We've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. As we live before our God, we seek to live according to His commands by His voice, not to save ourselves, but to proclaim that we have been saved by Christ, that He is our God, that He is our Lord, that He is our King, that we walk before Him because we have been regenerated by the Holy Spirit. We have been renewed. We have new life, a life granted by Him. Verse 26. James says, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from this world. If we think we belong to God, and we find ourselves continually entangled with those outside the church or even inside the church in debate after debate and debate, and our goal is to win these debates. And it's something I've had a lot in Honduras with people I've known. They love to debate and debate and debate and discuss. If anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, if he's not swift to hear and slow to speak, if it's only talk and talk and talk and not willing to walk, not willing to do what God has called us to do, James has very hard words. He said, this one's religion is useless. You're deceiving yourselves. If you're not living out what you're saying, you're deceiving yourselves. You're going to church, you're worshiping with God's people, but when you leave the church, you live just as the world. If that's who you are, then James says, you are deceiving yourselves. The Spirit is not in you. What we do within within church, we carry out into the world in which we live, and we proclaim by who we are, by what we say, by what we do, that we belong to Jesus Christ, that He is our Lord and Savior in all areas of our life, in our family, in our work, as we walk in the streets, as we talk with our neighbors, in everything that we do, we must proclaim that we belong to Jesus and that He is our Lord and that He is our Savior. We must be doers of the Word. And if not, if we are not living out our faith, then our faith is useless. It has no meaning at all. And then James gives an example. He says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. And the world presses in upon us with all the things that it offers to us, and it seeks to beguile us, and it brings into our life filth and filth and more filth, and this filth entraps us and pulls us along, and we are deceived, and we go along with this world, and we fall with it. And James comes and says, do not be deceived. We must reject what the world offers. We must go to our God. We must repent and believe in Him as our Lord and Savior. Have faith in Him. For He is our God. He is our Lord. And He is our King. In your life, as you live before our God, are you seeking to be faithful always, every day, alone, with others, in your work, in your play, wherever you may be? Are you seeking to live a life that is God-honoring, God-pleasing, for His glory and for His honor? But if you find yourself trapped by sin, God calls us to repentance, to not be deceived, to go to the Word, to go to the law of God, to write that Word upon your heart, to have the Word of God implanted on your heart, that it may guide you and direct you, that you may walk faithfully before Him. For God is faithful and just if we repent of our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us all of our sins. We must go to our God, and we must repent, and we must believe, and He indeed will forgive us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Holy God, we come to You in this afternoon hour, and we pray that You may indeed lead us and guide us and direct us. We come recognizing that Jesus Christ came to save sinners of all of their sins, such sinners as we, redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, born again. But, O Heavenly Father, may that be reality each and every one of our lives. And if we do not know Jesus Christ as our real Lord and Savior, if we are not under His domain, we pray that He may work within our hearts, that you may lead us to repentance and to believe in Him. For only in Christ and in Christ alone there is salvation. Bless us, therefore, and provide for us. We pray in Jesus' name's sake. Amen.